because of the violent religious groups like Al-Qaeda and Taliban, girls' mobility was restricted. Young women and girls' participation in the political sphere has been limited. And we also saw that girls' schools were destroyed, girls' literacy fell down in our province. So I grew up in that area and I faced all of this violence. I saw how it has affected the lives of many people in my community.
Is that why you decided to start an NGO called Arise Girls with your sister at 15?
Both of us were working already with young women and girls. So in one of our seminars, we've met a mother whose 13 years old son was taken away by the militant groups and he did not inform his parents. So the family received his dead body after a few months. And when this mother was sharing her story, I saw the pain in her eyes. I saw that this ideology, that I saw that what's the problem, you know, in this violent ideology. And also I felt a huge responsibility that it's really important to also work on promoting peace and to counter extremism as well.
It must have been dangerous at the time.
In Pakistan, being a woman's rights human defender, it's risky, and what we are doing at the risk of our own lives. I and my sister have been targeted, we have been threatened multiple times, and we have been attacked as well many times. So we have been...
You've been attacked. What happened?
So one of the very worst incidents was in May 2014 when it was midnight and an armed group of people who posed to be the security officers and who wanted to search our house. But luckily, my father didn't open the door to them, but they were shouting and they tried to forcefully enter our house and they threatened us that they will be back. They did aerial shooting in the air and they threatened our family that if I and my sister do not stop our work, they will chase us and they will come back.
Through your work, you've noticed a change in the way young people are thinking when it comes to supporting extremist groups like the Taliban or in supporting religion. Can you share with us what these changes are?
Yes, so there was like no tolerance for people from other religions, and also people thought that people from other religions should not have any worship places for them in the community. But through our work, then after the trainings, more than 90% of the participants agreed that yes, there should be spaces for people from other religions and they should have the right to build their own worship places as well.
So what are the strategies that you feel worked in order to get young people to see things differently?
So we use different strategies for our work. What we are doing is one is the capacity building of young people and giving them actually a platform where they can associate themselves. When young people have joined the Youth Peace Network, they see themselves transformed and also their peers and the communities have observed their transformation, their friends, their other colleagues, and that's why people really want to join this program because of that transformation. Also, peers are approaching other peers. There is more room for discussion. Another strategy is that we see the young people as the leaders of their own communities. So if they develop with some ideas, we will support them.
What is it that is attracting young people to join these groups?
One of the things that's very common in our context is that all people have really strong affiliation to their religion. The militant groups use this as a way to recruit more and more people. There are some other factors, for example, how our education and our curriculum is promoting more intolerance towards people from other beliefs and people from other neighboring countries like India. It is not good, it is a sin to eat with non-Muslims and such kind of things. You know, it's so much well-rooted. And in our curriculum, for example, the people who are warriors, they are portrayed as the heroes. They want to be like them. Of course, they want to see them as their heroes.